So today, the Spirit of the Lord put this on my heart to share about this hurricane and heaven's perspective concerning Hurricane Harvey. There's a lot gets said. If you're not in this city, a lot of times things are said outside the city with people that don't they're not here. They're not feeling the grace of God. They're not feeling the presence of God. They're not feeling this. They're outside looking from the outside in. They're talking about judgment and God's judgment over the city and things. And they're way out of touch when they're doing things like this because they don't see heaven's perspective on what's going on. Why? Here's a big question right here. Why did this happen to our city? Why did this happen to this state? There's a lot of questions, and some people don't even want to venture into that of why. They don't want to venture because they can't really venture into it. But today, we're going to venture into the why. W-H-Y. Why did this happen? From heaven's perspective, why did this happen? That's what I want to venture in today. Amen? I want you to see and hear heaven's perspective on what's happening. So go to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, let's find out what's going on because we need to understand what's going to happen in our future and where God is in all of this. Our part, God's part, the world's part, what's happening, why is all this happening? We're going to see this in Scripture. Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after the likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. So we see in the beginning, God gave dominion of the earth and all of its resources to man. Say to man. In fact, Psalms 115 says this. These are very important things to understand about what is happening right now. It says, you are the blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So the Lord made the heavens and he made the earth. But watch what he says in verse 16. Psalms 115 verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. Say the heaven and the heavens are the Lord's. Now watch what he says this, but the earth, say the earth, he has given to the children of men. The earth was delegated in the creation of man. God made man, gave him dominion over the earth, and he delegated the earth to man's authority, to man's dominion. The earth was given to man. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth, say the earth, was given to man. All right. So that is the stage I want to work from here. Now I need you to go to Romans chapter 5. Why is all this happening? It's quite simple, actually. We need to place the blame where blame lies. Amen? We don't need to be indicting God for things he has nothing to do with. Why didn't he just come and stop it? I'm about to tell you why. Because he gave the earth to the children of men. He gave dominion to man. All right? So look at chapter 5 of Romans 5. It says, now wherefore, now here's the big problem everywhere in all things right here. As one man sin, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And death, say death, by sin. And so death and sin passed upon all men, for all had sinned. So when God created Adam and Eve, he put the law, what's called the law of Genesis, in their loins. And the entire human race was spawned from the loins of Adam and Eve. It wasn't God's original design for sin to ever enter in. But sin entered in at the disobedience of Adam and Eve. They ate from the tree. He said, that day you will surely die. Sin entered that day. It took his body 935 years. To lay down, but sin entered in right there. Every time a human being was procreated, sin was there. And because of that, sin passed upon the entire human race. But it didn't just pass upon man. It also passed upon creation itself. Say creation. Now I wanted you to go to Romans 8 for a minute, if you would. We need heaven's perspective in times like this. Amen? So if we look at Romans 8, verse 18, he says, "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now look at this, verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature," when he says creature, he's talking about creation itself. The earth, say the earth, the atmosphere, land, waters, agriculture, all of it. It says, "The earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now what he's talking about here is the culmination of the sons of God. He's going to talk about exactly what he's talking about in the next three verses. We're waiting for something. You and I are waiting for something. We're waiting for the culmination of our redemption. We're waiting for something called this body that we're wearing that has death working in it. I don't care if you're alive. This body, there's a time, and we're going to renew it as much as we can. Amen. We're going to do everything we can to do the renewal process, but there is a time this body has, and that's it. Whatever time, you have a promise from heaven, by the way, of 70 years. And if you do the Moses thing, 120. I'm doing the 120. The 70, everyone has a right to live 70 years under faith in the dominion of God. He says a man's days are 70 years. But there's a time, no matter what you do, no matter how much faith you have, no matter who you are, how deep you are in God, how much glory you have on you, this body gonna lay down. And when it's time for it to lay down in this final days of laying down, it doesn't work like it used to. It doesn't feel like it used to. For the most part, now faith will kick in for you. Promises of God will kick in when they need to give you a kick. But sometimes when you're walking like this in the early days, you start walking like this in the letter. But I got joy. But this body's going to lay down. It's just, there's going to come a time for the end. Now, if you're Kenneth Hagin, you'll be walking in your living room and the Spirit of God just takes you out and your body falls down. Some other people, they don't go so well. But this body's going to lay down. But see, there's a promise everybody is waiting for. This generation gets to receive it. It's called the redemption of our body. We get caught up in the air. We're going to receive a glorified body. Say glorified body. I say a glorified body. We're waiting on it. We're going to be the generation that gets caught up with God before the great tribulation. Listen, the difference between where we're at now and the great tribulation is the Holy Ghost is present with his church. Now, when the Holy Ghost is not present, the church is not present, you're not going to see people respond the way they're responding. You're going to see a despair. You're not going to see, but the world's going to see a despair like no other time. Because there's not going to be any kind of presence fixing things like it did in this city. God's present in this city right now. His church is present. His people is present. The glory's present. The grace is present. But we're still waiting for the redemption. But not only us. Creation. Say creation. Verse 19. The earnest expectation of creations waiting for the culmination and the manifestation of the sons of God. For creation, was made subject also to vanity. That was the law of sin and death. Not only were you subjected, the world was subjected. Creation was subjected. It had a lifespan of eternity. Until the fall of man. When man fell, also the world. Man's days were numbered. Guess what? The earth's days are numbered. The earth has a lifespan. Because of the law of sin and death, it was subjected to the vanity and the law of sin and death. The earth, in all of creation, is also waiting for the culmination. Because there are promises that we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. Say new earth. It was subjected. It's groaning. Say groaning. because the creation itself, verse 21, Romans 8, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we know that whole creation, look at verse 22, we know that all of creation, see, he's talking about creation, is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. That was 2,000 years ago. Imagine where earth is now. They wrote that 2,000 years ago. Your body, when it gets of age, begins to groan for a new one. This earth. Amen. I struck a chord there. It begins to groan. Because you weren't made to be in pain. You weren't made to be in sickness. You weren't made to be in infirmity. We're going to get a new body. Everybody's going to go back to 30 years old. Hallelujah. You should say amen. We're actually coming back to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Say 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign with him in a glorified body. That's not going to give you any trouble at any time. Isn't that awesome? We're waiting on that. It's part of our redemption, but so is the earth. The earth has a lifespan that was not supposed to have been given to it. It was created for the purpose of eternity. When man fell, the earth fell too. The law of sin and death began its process of corruption. And the stuff that you'll see in the last days, that God says is going to happen. Earthquakes, fires, hurricanes. All of it is the shaking and the groaning of the earth. Because it's entering its last days too. And it's not God up there, I'm going to judge the world. I got a scripture for you. I got a scripture. Go to John 3 for a minute. Hold your finger in Romans 8. Be back there. The earth is groaning. It's travailing. It's beginning the birth pangs of the last days. It's about to finish its time. It needs a new earth. It's groaning for creation. Just like we're groaning for a new body. The earth is groaning. Creation's groaning. Everything's saying new heaven and new earth come. But the further it gets up into its last days, the more it's going to fall apart. It's not God up there saying this. It's the earth reaching its final limitation because it was subjected to the law of sin and death, just like we were. And there's a limitation to it, just like there's a limitation to us. There's going to be things that are going to happen. Amen. Where's God in the middle of all this? You have to understand, we'll say the earth is the Lord's. Yes, it's the Lord's. He created it. He has a plan to restore it with a new heaven and a new earth. He has a plan for you. He's got a plan for your body. He's got a plan for this earth. But meanwhile, he's got to work in here just like everybody else does. When God gave dominion to Adam, Adam sold that birthright to the devil. The devil became what's called the God of what? This world system. The devil has rights right now, and God has rights. God has rights to work through his people. And the devil has rights to work too. Because he stole the dominion. And he's running things through the law of sin and death. And God's running things through the law of spirit of life. And the battleground's the earth, and you're right in the middle of it. John 3, verse 16. For God so hated Houston, Texas, he sent Hurricane Harvey to teach us something. Because he didn't like the way we responded. When Louisiana flooded, we took in all their victims, and God said, oh, that's not enough. You need a little dose of your own medicine like they did. No. God loves this city. He loves what we did. He remembers what we did for them. He remembers. He's sending them. You heard the Cajun Navy? You know how many people they have rescued? Anybody heard the Cajun Navy? Raise your hand. That's all them people, them Louisiana boats coming down here. Man, God got me up at 1 o'clock in the morning the other night. He said, get up, get in your car, drive down to Springside. I said, it's flooded. He said, go through the water. I went there. I went to Springside. They started with 25 boats. That night they had 150. The next night they had 275 boats. I come in and say, what do you need? They said, 5 gallon gas. I said, I started handing them all Walmart cards. I mean, God just flooded the place. I mean, this one city official, I don't know where he's at. He's not on the airwave. The second night he says, thank you. We have it all under control. We don't need any help. I'm like, what are you talking about? Thank God they didn't listen to him. Where was God? God was working. God's working. Seeking to save the lost, the despair, the broken. God's working. If God said it, no use praying to him. He didn't send it. He was on the scene as soon as it happened. God was on the scene with his people. God was on the scene. His spirit was working in all kinds of state, bringing in resources. People, help! Because he knows the world is shaking right now. And it's going to continue to shake, but God's got a plan for a shaking world. He's going to bring a white horse up. You haven't seen anything yet. He's about to shift resources in the hands of his people. Great resources to handle things like this. Look at the unity that's happened from this. That's where God's at. Look at all the abundance that's come in and the generosity. That's where God's at. Look at all the help. That's where this one lady, she cuts hair. She was talking. I saw her on TV. She goes, look, I didn't know what to do. I ran down there to George R. Brown and I found the elderly couple. They were in despair. She took them. She got them showered, started cutting their hair. And she said, they just look brand new after that. People utilizing every gift God has given them for the glory of God. He even put a broom in my hand. Hallelujah. The Lord said, now you take that broom and do the work nobody else wants to do. I walked in that room and oh my God, the sewage smell in that room was like, oh, I'm going to do it anyway. I had to stop a couple times, go outside, cough a little bit, and I just kept doing it. That's the glory of God. Now watch this. John 3, verse 16. Verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Verse 17, God sent not his Son into Houston, Texas to condemn it. God did not send his Spirit into Houston, Texas to condemn it. God did not send his Son to condemn the world. Notice what he said. He says, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Notice this verse, verse 18. He that believeth not, you're already condemned. The world was already condemned. It was born in a state of law and sin and death. God didn't come in to further that. He says, I'm here to rescue you. For every trial and situation. Now there is a tribulation coming. There's no doubt about that. And there is a wrath that's coming. But that's to a world that's rejected. And completely rejected. Every form of God and the gospel that God has brought to the world. But that is not yet. Because the world is going to see his church in a way that they've never seen it. They're going to see the gospel in a way they've never seen it before. If they reject that, then there's a time that you're going to be a godless time for 7 years. Well, there's not going to be a spirit like you feel right now. You're not going to be here. Say, I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be lifted out. Praise God. Say, lift me out, Lord. Lift me out. All right, go back to Romans 8 for a minute. Praise the Lord. So is your body, my eyesight, faith will turn some things here. That's why God's given us dominion. You get to do things in the middle of situations like that you couldn't have done before. Creation is groaning. The earth is groaning. It's in birth pangs. What's it groaning for? It's crying out in a form of intercession. Clothe me. Give me a new body. I was subjected to law of sin and death. It wasn't the way I was supposed to be made. No longer, your body was not supposed to do that. Your body was designed in the beginning to never, ever, ever, ever feel pain. A glorified body, you can write this down, will never feel pain. Not ever. It will not break down. Not ever. It'll never have an ache. Not ever. It doesn't get tired, doesn't get sleepy. Not ever. That's the way the earth was supposed to be. It's in birth pangs. Just like your body is groaning, the earth is groaning. The further it gets and the closer it gets to the time of the last days, it's going to shake more and more. I'm not going to tell you things like this are not going to happen. They're going to increase. They're going to increase at a pace that nobody's ready for. But so is His church. So is the grace. So is the glory. So is the presence. God's plan is going to kick in. That's why God's going to release a brand new move in the last days. Hallelujah. Because we're coming close to the time that God is going to open the book. Woo! When He opens the book, the white horse is going to begin to run. And you are looking at the preliminary operations of the white horse, how it's going to work in the last days. Amen. Romans 8, verse 21. Because creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The same glory that's coming upon our glorified body, the earth's going to get it too. Imagine an earth with no death working in it. Imagine, even when the Lord becomes Lord of the thousand-year millennial reign, it said the lion and the lamb will lie down together. You'll be able to walk in the midst of lions and not being afraid. The serpent and the adder children will get to play with snakes and not have any fear. Isn't that awesome? And then God's going to completely give it a facelift. Woo! Now verse 23. And not only they, not only creation. Say, not only creation. Because verse 23 says, you know, the whole creation's groaning. That's the earth. It's in a place of birth pangs. It's a place of intercession. But not only the earth, but ourself also. Say, ourself also. Not just creation, but us also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the culmination of the sons of God. That's when our salvation completes. Spirit, soul, and body, we're made brand new. The earth's going to get it too. Amen? But meanwhile, stop blaming this stuff on God. Anybody else is blaming themselves on God, send them this message. God is not bringing this. God is working in the midst of it. Amen? Now, Isaiah 65, 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to the mind. Listen, when God recreates the earth, it won't do anything like this ever again. There won't be any birth pain. There won't be floods, earthquake, fire, none of that. There's not going to be any more falling apart. Amen? Now go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'll close with this. Boy, I started feeling the grace of God this week. I said, this is how the white horse is going to run. When you're seeing what was going on, God is just giving a glimpse to the world. Even the media don't know what to do with themselves. Because they're just waiting for somebody. Everybody's positive, uplifted. All the leaders and nobody in there whining, crying, complaining, murmuring. Nobody. The leaders, everything's working together. And everyone, even the media's looking like, man, you people in Texas. We are showing the world how this thing's going to get done in the last days. And everybody is watching it. The glory about the modern media age is the whole world gets to see it. Do you know how many quick things, how fast things were moving? They'd set up a shelter in one night. That shelter would get flooded. They had everything moved by the next night. And then everybody moved to the next place. I mean, one day was making a difference all the way across the board. Boom, 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 boom. If you close your eyes for 4 days, you miss the whole thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You want to look at this verse. Open up your Bible, your iPad. I should have given you notes. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering to us, word. Does that sound like judgment? No, he's long-suffering. He loves us. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. In the which the heavens, look at this, shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements of the earth shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. See, he's talking about the end of the systems we live in. What manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord. We're supposed to be looking for it. Understand what's going on. Get on the right side of the equation. Understand who you are. Understand what God is doing. Be filled with a mercy as God is filled with mercy. You can't move with mercy if it's a time of judgment. That's why the church can't go through the tribulation. The church is God's agency of mercy. You can't just shift us from mercy and grace to judgment. We're not a people of judgment. We're a people of mercy and grace to the world. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, say, nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for what? New heaven and new earth. Say, new heaven, new earth. That's God's plan. When the earth is in birth pangs, when creation's in birth pangs, things like this are going to happen. But there's coming a new heaven, a new earth. Meanwhile, God's going to work. Say, he's going to work. So what's he doing? Where is he at right now? I just made a small list. You can make a larger one. But here's where God's been. You want to hear what God's been? God was working through his Holy Spirit within and through his people. God was in the first responders, the Cajun Navy, the city officials, and our president. God was moving in massive generosity over the entire city for relief efforts all over Texas, now in Louisiana. God was in the offerings and contributions given from all over. God was in Anna and Victoria babysitting Debbie Abel's grandchildren. God was in Pastor Chuck when he rescued Richard and Betty Jean in his boat. God was in Sharon Sargent organizing relief efforts on behalf of the Father's house. God was in our intercessors praying day and night. God was in our men, women, and youth working to restore and clean up homes. God was in my broom sweeping out bacteria-infested sewage water. That's my testimony, hallelujah. I had a broom. I moved to the broom ministry, praise God. The mighty apostle broom ministry. God, I stand in that house and God said, you are going to grab that broom. Because I knew exactly what needed to be done. I come in there, I told Monica, I said, I don't want to be overbearing here, but I know what needs to be done here. But God said, you grab the broom and lead. Amen. I got the broom ministry, praise God. God was in Mattress Mack's gallery furniture. Man, that guy, he took all them brand new mattresses and laid out a big playground for the kids. One of his businessmen came in and bought lamb chops for all 300 of them. Ordered from a local restaurant that was closed. Got everybody in there and they got lamb chops. Because they wanted to make them feel like kings and queens. God is still at work, mending, restoring, blessing, helping, loving, and administrating relief. And he will, until the last time he brings his church out. And then there'll be judgment. Then you can call down judgment. But not now. Because God's people and God's church is going to show mercy and love like never before. Whew. What's next is God is going to crown his church with a preliminary crown. And God's going to put assets and wealth in the hands of his people. So they're not going to be emptying their closets. They're going to be emptying their bank accounts and very large ones onto needs all over the world. There's coming a day you're going to see things like this, 10 to 20 of them at a time, all over the world. Don't even think it's not going to happen. But also know that God's people in the orchestration of the mighty Holy Ghost, nobody can do what the Holy Ghost, he was moving faster than anybody. The Holy Ghost was orchestrating at a level. I was watching TV. I'm like, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I said, get me plugged in. I can't get out of my neighborhood. I was like, ah. I said, plug me in. That's when he woke me at 1 o'clock in the morning. He goes, drive through that water and go down there and see what's going on. Where is God? God is in you. You want to find out where grace is? God is right in the middle of this city with the ultimate bountiful grace. He's going to stay here till the job's done. And I, as a pastor of this house, want to thank every one of you. I've seen people step up at a time this week that's been so amazing. Incredibly amazing. It's a time to let God, because there's no time in human history you're going to get a chance to love the way you love right now. Boy, we had an opportunity and continue to have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the middle of all this. God, I mean, what an opportunity. I saw this as I said, oh my God, this is an opportunity to get us out of ourselves and get us plugged in to humanity at its deepest level. Every one of us have that opportunity, going to continue to have it. As the grace of God's going to continue to be with this planet and with our people until that day comes where he calls us out and we get a new glorified body. And if you're still here, which is nobody in this church, it's because you didn't hear or listen. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Listen. Yeah, come on. Let's give him glory. Praise God. Hey, think about this. In the middle of this city, there was no red, black, brown, white. There was none of that. There was no divisive politics. None of that. Nobody ever screaming for their side. Everybody came together. You can't produce that kind of unity, but God can. He can work in the middle of that and produce unity. This city will elevate because of what happened. We will elevate and be stronger than we've ever been before because of what's happened. Oh, man, hallelujah. Let's give God glory, praise. He will elevate. Amen.